national office as Congresswoman from New Mexico, and she's still in her first term. And so this was, you know, how she was going to do, and she appears to be doing very well. And she, I felt she did a great job. And so I think that, you know, and she has a lot of support for her nomination, at least for the Democratic Party, and some Republicans, of course, you know, like Murkowski and the usual swing voters. And, but, you know, I mean, so it's, so yeah, I think it's, I'm excited. It will be really, and I really, I do think I need to sit down and write about this sort of, it's almost like a change of consciousness in America to have a Native woman in charge of one fifth of the country. You know, what does that even mean? I think that we haven't even begun to understand that. But, you know, of course, there is the flip side, which is the danger. We, you know, it will put her in danger as well, you know, and yet, so we still have a very, divided country, and the country is still guided by principles that are difficult to have in a multi-ethnic, multi-pluralistic, multi-racial, pluralistic society. Right.
Well, I hear our theme music coming up, so it sounds like the show is over right about now. So thank you once again, Jackie. Really good to hear your perspective on everything, and appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye everybody.
Hey, Bluegrass lovers! Tune in Saturday, March 13th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for a very special quarantine version of the Bluegrass Marathon from your friends at Music from the True Vine.
This year's marathon will feature homespun, socially distanced recordings from Jack Straw,
Left Coast Country,
John Cale and Annie Stanenitz,
Caleb Clowder and Reeve Wilms,
Doug Sammons and Jeff Smith,
Farmstrong,
and many, many more.
Don't miss this unique radio event to catch up with your friends and neighbors, playing music and sharing stories from the lockdown.
Again, tune in to KBOO Saturday, March 13th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for the Bluegrass Marathon.
Don't miss it.
This is Bill McKibben coming at you on KBOO Portland, Oregon.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor It Did Happen Here, the podcast producers, Thursday, March 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. This Zoom conversation is hosted by the Multnomah County Library. You can sign up for the event at the Multnomah County Library website under the events calendar for Thursday, March 11th. Selena Flores, Mike Crenshaw, and Aaron Yankee, producers of the podcast about fighting neo-Nazis in Portland, will answer questions about the process of making the podcast and the story and storytelling aspects. Again, that's It Did Happen Here, the podcast producers, on Zoom. Registration happens on the Multnomah County Library website on their events calendar for Thursday, March 11th. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Sullivan. We feature interviews with leaders in the community focusing on issues important to Washington County.
Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Today, our guest is the mayor of King City. After more than 30 years in the aircraft industry, our guest today, Mayor Ken Gibson, retired to King City in 2006. Mayor Gibson has been the mayor of King City since 2016. He's been on the city council since 2008. Originally founded as a 55 and older community on Tigard's western flank, the city has grown and diversified in recent decades. Among the mayor's accomplishments, he presided over the city's successful application to expand the urban growth boundary west, giving King City the ability to grow further towards Southwest Roy Rogers Road. Mayor Gibson, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure being here, Rob. Good to see you.
I guess we'll get right into the questions. King City has long been referred to as that small city for older people. You have made efforts to change that. What measures are you taking, and how are things going?
Well, I think things are going extremely well. I don't know that I can really take credit for that specific change, because it's just been a process for every bit of land that we've annexed after the original King City, which was referred to as the KCCA, the King City Community Association, is non-age restricted. So when we started annexing other open lands, there were no age restrictions. So naturally that meant that younger families were going to be moving in. And what we've accomplished in doing that is that we're almost now 50-50 in terms of our senior community and the newer portions of King City for the younger family. So I call it a blended family.
Were you surprised that younger folks were willing to move to a community that was so heavily populated by older folks?
Yes and no. I remember when my wife and I first lived in King City, it kind of irritated me later that a lot of their realtors were advertising the new developments as Tigard, not King City, because they were afraid that people would think, oh, this is an old senior community and I'm not going to attract anybody to wanting to live there. But that has changed dramatically. And I don't see any issue with people wanting to be here, because they know now that it's a pretty nice blend of the senior population and the new younger working families.
Sounds terrific. How would you describe the values important to civic leadership? To what extent are you able to maintain those values when dealing with the politics of running a city?
Well, the way I see it, and I've always maintained this, that the form of government that we have is the purest form of government. And I say that because there's no money involved. A lot of people don't understand that, first of all, the mayor and all the councilors in King City are non-paid positions. We are all volunteers. And therefore, we're all volunteering our time for one thing and one thing only, and that's to make this city the best it can be. And we have dedicated counselors, dedicated planning commissioners who really are only interested in making sure that this is a great city to live in, to make the changes that are necessary, deal with the issues that are going to arise, which we will always have them. But, you know, and I think it's important for me to be a leader. You know, I take the responsibility for being a leader, and I have to demonstrate how we operate and how we respect our community and our residents, even when we don't have the same opinion on things, even when we disagree. As a leader, I have to be respectful, and that's pretty easy for me to do. I think that's the most important thing. People want to be heard and they want to be respected. And it's difficult sometimes because some people who have a very strong opinion about in disagreement aren't very pleasant sometimes, but I can't go down that path. I will always have respect for the individuals first, and we will try to come to some kind of conclusion, whether it's just to agree to disagree.
Interesting. Thank you. When we talk about the issues, and I appreciate the two that you shared with me, I can't help but wonder, as a smaller community, do you, like many others in our county, now have affordable housing concerns? And if so, will things worsen with our expected population growth?
Well, I think so. But, you know, we're obligated as we expand to provide that variety of housing. You know,
yes.
When you look at House Bill 2001-2003, that says we are obligated to provide affordable housing and to meet a lot of different incomes. And that means that we have to develop a lot of different varieties of housing to meet a variety of different incomes. When I look at original King City, it is an absolute great spot for a 55-year-old. Now, the way I see it is that a 55-year-old today is a little bit different from a 55-year-old maybe back in 1966. Many 55-year-olds are still working, and there are some great homes within original King City where people want to move. These houses don't stay on the market very long, so that's a real attraction for a 55. And there's a wonderful, there are actually two 55 and older communities, the original KCCA and then the Highlands, where there's some really, really kind of upgraded homes from original King City, a little larger and a wonderful community that people are really interested in living in. And then of course, we have the other areas that are not age restricted. And it's an attraction for people to want to be here because it is pleasant and quiet and safe.
Gotcha. As a, again, as a smaller community, I would think your partnerships are very, very important, especially with county administration and with Metro. Are they good partners?
Yeah, they are. You know, and I think, and I'm going to give myself some credit for those relationships. One of the things that I realized early on, most of the meetings I go to, I'm involved in the meetings with Metro. I'm involved in the meetings with Washington County. We have what we call the Metropolitan Mayors Consortium, where all the mayors in the region try to come together, you know, to, you know, talk about the things that are important to us. We have annually, we put together a list of the legislative issues that is important to all cities, small and large. And in that Metropolitan Mayors Consortium, we have Ted Wheeler out of Portland, we have the Gresham and Milwaukee mayors, you know, larger cities that are involved in that, all the way down to King City and North Plains and Banks, which are smaller cities. So I think that's important. And I think that's one of the accomplishments that we've been able to do as a city, that we are known at the table. And if something comes up that is going to be a benefit, we're not going to miss it. And I think that's a huge accomplishment for King City as a small city.
Washington County is touted as Oregon's most racially diverse county, with one-third of the population of an ethnic racial minority. King City's racial makeup as of the 2010 census, and I know things change, but as of the last data I could find, was about 89% white.
Right.
I know that I am talking to, I believe, the only person of color that holds a mayor position in our county. Do you know that?
Oh my goodness, Tim Hall over in Gearhart over on the coast. So those are three more. So
yeah, indeed, things are changing.
That things have changed. But let's go back to Washington County. And I agree with what your assessment is. I think that we have had, when we look at now that we have a Black woman who is on the Washington County Commission, you know, just newly elected. And I've always felt that,
yes.
And I've always felt that King City, our council, has always reflected that diversity that we're talking about. With me, we have Smart Ocholi, who is a Nigerian American. And when we look at diversity, we're not just talking about color. We're also talking about age. We now have a diverse group of counselors for King City that are the younger set, 40-year-olds versus a couple of seniors. I'm one of the seniors and Dave Platt is the other senior. But we have men, we have women, and we have age diversity, which is vitally important for what we're trying to do.
Well, and actually, if I may, what is the importance in attracting diversity to a community? What value do you see in that?
It's diversity of thought. It's diversity of experience. It's a diverse view on standards. You know, where do you come from? What have you seen? What have you experienced? And I think by and large, most people want the same thing. I don't care where you're from. If you can afford to live in King City, I think your standards are pretty much the same as everybody else. You want a nice community. You want a well-maintained community. You want a respectful community. And I think people want to see diversity in their leadership. And you think about what King City continues to do, the residents of King City and the way the residents of King City vote, you know, they are comfortable with me leading. Smart Ocholi was just reelected for another term. And so I think the residents of King City say, look, we don't want everything to look the way it used to. And the way it used to look was there were a bunch of old white guys that were running the show, okay? And that changed. When I first joined the council, believe it or not, in 2008, I was one of the youngest on the council, pretty much. Yes. And I was retired and old at that point. And I was the only person of color. So, you know, so it is. And I think people want to see this today. Look, with all the stuff that's been going on in this world, 2020 was the year that says, if you want to see what's wrong, it's visible to you. If you want to know what I can do to make things better, that's also visible to you. I think 2020 gave us that view of the changes that need to be made and the things that people are concerned about and are willing to step up and say, I want to live in a different kind of community. I want to live in a different kind of world.
That, sir, is one of the few silver linings I have heard from the 2020 cloud. Yes. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes,
I very sincerely mean that. And, you know, you talk about the changes in the 2020, and obviously there's a pandemic, and actually we'll get to that in a moment. But one of the other big changes, which I'm not sure how lasting it is, sadly, but it has to do with issues with police.
Mm-hmm.
Where does King City stand? Have there been calls to change the way law enforcement does its job in King City?
No, there hasn't. But especially with the George Floyd murder, I met with all of our police force. You know, we do have a police chief, Ernie Hapla, Lieutenant Brian Sigler, and our police officers, and I met with all of them. One of the big concerns that jumped out at everybody was police reform. And what did that really mean? What were people really looking for? One of the things that I wanted to make clear to our police force is that this whole conversation surrounding defund the police, and I said, to me, that absolutely does not mean what people think it means.
Yeah.
I say that defund police is absolutely the wrong thing to say. If we're talking about taking some of the burden off of police officers in terms of having to deal with the homeless and the mentally ill and all of those kinds of things and shift those funds into those people who are absolutely trained to deal with the mentally ill and the homeless, that is the right thing to do in terms of funding. We're not talking about getting rid of a police officers. We're not talking about taking away from their responsibility that I believe police officers should have, and that's to keep our community safe, protect this community, and create that control in terms of trafficking and all of those kinds of things. So I think it was well received by our police force. They really needed to hear from me that I believe that is absolutely the thing that we need to talk about. The other thing that I talked about is that I think most of the problems in policing is a leadership problem. I believe that if you have a bad police officer and that officer is allowed to continue doing the things that everybody knows that officer is doing, nothing gets done about it. That's a failure of leadership. It's a failure of leadership all the way across the board, whether it be the mayor of that city, the police chief of that city, and even the union leadership. If you allow somebody to continue to have complaint after complaint after complaint, and you don't do anything about it, that's a failure of leadership. They needed to hear that from me too. But I did say, and I will continue to say this, if you step across that line and you demonstrate that you're not worthy of policing in this community, you can believe that this leadership team will take all the action necessary to make sure that you're not out there on that street. I think that's an important message that every leader needs to send to their police
force. What I think I'm hearing from you is, first of all, the phrase defunding the police may have some merit, but it's a poorly chosen set of words for what they're trying to do.
Yes.
And part of your response is to look sincerely and solidly at who can do the better job for the task at hand, i.e. maybe social service personnel for working with the homeless as opposed to an officer, etc. That makes really good sense. However, there's one other aspect. Has there been any concern about, well, I'll just use the words, police brutality within your city?
No, not at all. We've never had an incident. There's never been a situation where we've had to deal with it. And, you know, I'm not saying that it won't happen. I'm not saying that it's something that we're 10 times better than everybody else, but it hasn't happened. And I think we have a very respectful police force who understand what their role is. And they understand that the first and foremost responsibility is to keep everybody safe, including themselves and the people that they're dealing with. And I think that's well understood throughout our police force. So we have not had a situation at this point.
That sounds great, Mr. Mayor. As we are taping today's show, we seem to be locally and nationally still in the throes of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
What challenges do King City residents face to help flatten the curve, get back to work, and eventually put an end to this weird normal we're dealing with?
Well, I'm going to give the residents of King City a big shout out, because I think our residents have done a wonderful job of following the protocols in order to stay safe. You know, we haven't had any real incidents where people refuse to do the right thing in terms of wearing face coverings and social distancing and all of those things. We do have, and I do want to say, we have what is called the King City Senior Village. It's a resident where there are a lot of retirees that live. It's not an assisted living, but it's apartments, and they have a local restaurant and all of those things built in to the King City Senior Village. But they jumped on this thing right away. They knew exactly what they needed to do because they were thinking, and they were led by some real leaders to say, we need to eliminate people coming in to visit. We need to do our social distancing. We need to do all those things that we know will help us to stay safe, and the residents to stay safe. And there haven't been any outbreaks there. And, you know, they just really took it seriously. They understood what needed to be done. I do have concerns now with vaccinations starting up. Last Monday, we said that 80-year-olds could get vaccinated. And then I said, okay, how are our 80-year-olds going to get to these locations? We're talking about the Civic Center downtown, someplace in Hillsboro, and wherever they're expected to go to get vaccinated. I'm deeply concerned about that. So I made a phone call to the CEO of Ride Connection, Julie Wilkie, and we talked about what they would provide in terms of transportation for King City residents to get vaccinated. We are confident now that Rideshare will participate at the highest level to get our seniors to these locations for vaccinations. And I'm confident now that that will occur. Now, we know that Safeway and Rite Aid and some others, I think Costco and Walgreens, maybe not Rite Aid, will eventually start doing vaccinations. But my greatest concern was, you know that a lot of the seniors in King City, they use golf carts to get around the city, you know, go to the grocery outlet and to get groceries and those kinds of things. And they don't get out on the highway. They don't drive like most of us do. So that Ride Connection transportation to getting a vaccination is vitally important. So I'm really pleased.
Yes, and Ride Connection's an excellent organization. It was very progressive or forward thinking for you to get in touch with them. That's absolutely excellent. I'm wondering,
Rob, I was always a little bit concerned because when you look at the reporting for the number of cases a day versus deaths and all of that, it never got down to the city level. The lowest level we could get to was by zip code. And of course, King City is in the 97224 zip code, but that covers parts of Tigard and Durham. Sure. And so we could never really see the numbers for King City specifically. But at the same time, I haven't had a whole lot of phone calls about people who were concerned for family members and those kind of things. And I think we've done very, very well overall.
Excellent. But what about calls from people or even protests? I appreciate you're not a large city, but you have businesses and many of them have been closed by state mandate.
Yeah.
A lot of communities are suffering economically tremendously. Businesses are closing some, and some businesses are hanging by a thread. What's been the economic impact to your city?
Well, I mean, we don't have a lot of business. That's first and foremost. We have several restaurants. And as a city, we would love to be able to help these businesses financially, but we just don't have the resource to be able to do it. And that's the issue with most small cities. The larger cities had some funding where they could actually contribute to some of these businesses to help them out. The most that we could do was to make sure that our businesses knew where to get the resources they needed to get help. And it worked. We made sure that when the CARES funding became available, that we posted information on our website, made sure that we got information out to the businesses on where they could go to get some relief. And by the most part, all the restaurants in King City immediately started doing takeout only.
Yes.
And that helped them survive. I think every restaurant in King City stayed alive, stayed afloat by doing takeout. There's a Sherry's, there's a Mazatlan Mexican restaurant, and a few others. And they all basically took it upon themselves to make sure that their businesses stayed afloat by doing takeout. My concerns aren't necessarily specifically related to King City. I am concerned about the amount of hate that's been distributed throughout this country that has shown its ugly face. And I just hope that King City can stay somewhat safe from those kinds of activities. You know, it's painful. It's painful to see that there's so much deep divide when it comes to people who think the worst of everybody who doesn't look like them or think like them. And I can't say that there isn't some of that within King City, but it's not visible. And I just hope we are a beacon of being able to work together and continue to defend ourselves against the hatred that is in this
country right now. Sir, when you say that hatred is in King City but not visible, I'm reminded of your comment about 2020 being the year that enabled revealing some of this emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Did that not happen in King City? Did you not see more of it come out in 2020 as we did in so many other places across the country?
No, we didn't. I mean, we didn't have any real demonstrations. You know, it is so subtle, you know, and as a Black man and looking at what occurred in Washington, D.C. with the insurrection, and you see how, to me, they defiled the American flag, and I'm just speaking honestly, at that point, the American flag didn't really look much different from the Confederate flag, okay? Now, that's
yes.
harsh, but
yes.
that's the
and
reality
yes.
of what we do. Now, when I see somebody riding through King City, waving an American flag, a question in my mind. Yeah. What is that representing? Is that really representing the love and the togetherness that we're supposed to share as Americans? Or is it representing that other side that we saw in that insurrection? And I don't want to have to feel that. I don't want to have to see that. But it's the reality. And that's one of the things that 2020 revealed to us. And I'm not sure.
It's definitely understood. Thank you, sir, for your time, your candor. Appreciate it very much. I have visited the park in King City. It looks like I have to go back because I haven't been there since it's been renovated. I need to see.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, thank you very much. And if you have any comments about the show, please feel free to get in touch with us at insidewashco.org. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, Rob. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Mark Berry.